You can be seated and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. Our song kind of reiterated exactly what I'm preaching on tonight. I preached kind of some deep sermons, trying to get across some important thoughts about salvation, about the fact of the change that God is making from the Old to the New Testament and things going on, so we can hopefully better understand the Bible and the Bible teaching there. And so for a couple weeks now, morning and evening, we've preached some messages, maybe in some ways hard to be understood, but we're trying to get that point across. Tonight I want to lighten that up a little bit, and I want to encourage you a little bit. The song service tonight kind of went along with what I want to talk about, and that is just simply when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things we can say about the Lord, obviously, about Him being our Savior and so forth. But one of the things that sometimes in all that we kind of forget, and we just mentioned it in this last song, the Lord is our best friend. Not just a friend, He's actually our best friend. And I just kind of want to share a few points about that tonight, and we'll try not to keep it long or tedious, just a little thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, wherever we go, we find that people, it seems today, to be lonely. You know, it's kind of amazing when you think of all the communication stuff that we have today that years back that we didn't have, but people seem to be lonely. I think some of that probably has to do with people are walking around all the time with their face in a phone. Nobody talks anymore. If they do say something, it's a text or a tweet or an email or something like that. And so, you know, I was watching yesterday. I was sitting in a restaurant having lunch, and I just noticed this couple and a little boy, and the woman was sitting there working on her phone. The other two, the little boy and the dad, I assume, was sitting there, and just not much going on. No fellowship, no relationship, nothing, and she was just working on the phone. And I'm not picking on the ladies, it could be the other way around. With the men, it just happened to be that way in this case. And I, you know, just kind of look at the face of the little fella sitting there and the guy, and it just seemed kind of like lonely. You know, they just sitting there, eating, taking a bite and so forth. Just seemed like people are lonely today. They're looking for a friend, and I think also they're looking for a true friend. Sometimes we talk about friends, but they're not true friends, or they're not real friends. Maybe an acquaintance, somebody we know. We say, "Hi." Somebody say, "Who's that?" "Oh, it's just a friend." But it's just a friend. You know, it's not a real friend, not a true friend. Proverbs 18:24 speaks of a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And maybe you have a brother or sister, and you're thankful for your brothers and your sisters and so forth. Maybe you're a little closer to one than the other or whatever. But you have somebody even closer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God. He is closer than the closest that you know. He ought to be our closest, our best friend. John 15:13. Matter of fact, you just flip over a couple of pages over there. And John 15, and you, I'm sure, remember this, verse 13, John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." 1 John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave." You know what that is? He laid down that life. That's a friend that we have. The Lord is our friend. Jesus is the best friend that we have. What characteristics does he possess which would qualify him to be the best friend we can have? What is it about the Lord that makes him our best friend? I want to give just a few things about this tonight. And of course, we have a story here in John chapter 11, which points out Jesus being a wonderful friend. If you'll look with me in John 11, we'll just read the first six verses. We'll cover other parts of the chapter, but just as a starting point, a jump-off point, let's look at John 11, 1 through 6. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, love you today. Thank you for your friendship. I'm thankful for your love. And it's a love that's greater than all love. And I thank you, Lord, for that friendship that you provide for us. We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. And that's certainly true. What a friend we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, tonight, whatever our difficulties or problems or situations might be, that we just relax tonight, sit back, and Lord, ask you to speak to our hearts and encourage us and lift us up as we think about the fact, Lord, that you are our best friend. And we'll thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture reveals three characteristics of Jesus, which I think qualifies him to be the best friend that we can have. And I want to give those three to you tonight, and I hope that just encourages you, helps you to think about the fact that God is your Lord, Jesus Christ is your Savior, and thankful for that, but he's also your best friend. First of all, I see here that Jesus is a loving friend. A loving friend. Verse 3 says, therefore his sister sent unto him, unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And then he says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus is a loving friend, one who loves each one of us. Now listen to this, individually. We talk about how God loves the church, and that's great, but he loves you. I can go through and name all the names here. And Jesus loves you. Think about that. God loves you. He named him right here in verse 5. He loved Martha. He loved her sister, which would be Mary. And he loved Lazarus. And we could put your name in her. He loves you. Jesus Christ had presented himself to the nation of Israel. Unfortunately, the nation of Israel had rejected him. If you go back into chapter 5, they rejected his works. In John chapter 5, let's flip back here, we'll just go through it real quick, but in John chapter 5, down at verse John 5 and verse 9, it says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Isn't that amazing? Man been there at the pool of Bethesda all these years. Not one of them came to be a help to him. And Jesus healed him. Unfortunately, in a sense, it was on the Sabbath day, verse 9 says, and on the same day was the Sabbath day. And of course, the Pharisees said, you shouldn't be going around carrying your bed on the Sabbath day. Instead of saying, praise the Lord, what happened here? We see you're walking. And so, verse 11, he answered them, and he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. What's he saying? Said the one that healed me, and now I can walk, told me to pick up my bed and walk. I'm going to do what he said to do. And then they, verse 13, and he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. When Jesus found him in the temple, he said to him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. But they rejected that. Go look at verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So here they are. They have rejected his works. You get to chapter 8 and they rejected his word. Just flip over a few pages to chapter 8. And look down, if you would, at verses 12 and 13. Of course, it'd be nice to read all these, but we'll just read a couple verses here. And look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Look at verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest a record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus goes on to tell them that his record is true. Not only does he bear witness, but God in heaven bears witness with him. But they rejected his word. Then you go over to chapter 10, and they rejected his person. In John chapter 10 and verse 33, John 10 and verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, now listen to this, because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God. They rejected him, his person. They rejected his works. They rejected his words. They rejected his person. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus' sister has told us here that Jesus loves you. And we don't want to be ones that does not recognize his love. Certainly we don't want to be ones that rejects his love. We want to realize that Jesus loves even me. Amen? And you can put your name in there. Jesus loves you. He's one who loves each one of us individually. Not only that, he's one who nevertheless allows affliction to befall us. If you go back there, or you're probably there, John chapter 11, we notice here in verse 3, it says, therefore his sister sent unto him, unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He's sick. Now, some people tell us that Christians should never be sick. They also tell you if you're sick, there must be something wrong with you. Yeah, there is. I'm sick. But yes, Christians get sick. Yes, Christians have problems. Yes, Christians have needs sometimes. But my God shall supply your need. My God can heal you. God can work in your life and in your need. You know why? Because God loves you. God loves you. Put your name there. What a wonderful thought that is. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful." Is sickness in the will of God? It would be good to have Lazarus standing here today and talking to us about that, wouldn't it? Here we find that Lazarus was sick. And the Lord says, verse 4, that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Sometimes things happen to us, and through what happens to us, if we handle it rightly, understanding that God is our friend individually, He knows us and He loves us and He wants to be a friend to us, that sickness is not a sign that God does not love you. It simply might be that God is going to use you. God will see you through that. You cannot tell by the circumstances of a person whether God loves them or not. The circumstances don't tell it. You say, well, then how do I know? God says so. It's not the circumstances. Oh, somebody had problems. Some people look at problems that people have and pronounce judgment upon them that there's something wrong in their life. No. Matter of fact, the Bible says for us not to judge. We cannot see the heart. We do not understand what God is doing in that situation. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, don't be a judge. I can't see the heart. You can't see the heart. God may be doing great things. We preached recently on the book of Job. What was his three friends and the four friends? What was they saying about him? Got a problem in your life, don't you? And God has said to us, what? He was a wonderful man. He eschewed evil. That wasn't the problem. But God used what happened to him for His glory, for God's glory. And I think for His benefit as well. We have no right to judge. He not only allowed Lazarus to be sick, but He allowed him to die. He allowed him to die. He can strengthen us through that time. Make us strong. You know, when you go through difficult times, if you handle it right, you'll come out stronger for it. Some of us have had childhood diseases. What happened after we had them? We're immune for life in that childhood disease. Difficulties come our way. If we handle the difficulties that God allows in our life, not necessarily that He causes them, but He takes His hand away and allows them, what should happen to our life? It ought to make us stronger, better Christian, more faithful, thankful, because God loves you. Loved you so much to see you through that time, to watch over you. The Bible said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He's going to be with me through that. Through that time, whatever it might be. Now, most of us here, I know Don did. He died there one time. Most of us haven't gone through death. But here, God took him through death and went through it evidently with him because he came out on the other side. What a friend we have in Jesus. And by the way, not just a friend to everybody, a friend to you personally. Put your name here. How wonderful to have a loving friend like Jesus. But you know, there is more. He's more than that. Not only is Jesus a loving friend, but secondly, Jesus is an understanding friend. Jesus understands you. Not only does Jesus love you, but Jesus understands you. Jesus understands our deepest woes. Go down to verse 21 there in John chapter 11. It says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Boy, she had her theology right, didn't she? She said, I know he's going to rise again. But that isn't exactly what the Lord meant. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But believest thou this? He is talking about eternal life here. He understands our deepest woes. Death is frightening. Sickness is and despair is overwhelming sometimes. Sometimes you get that news that there's a problem, there's a situation. My wife and I went through that with the breast cancer and so forth. Sometimes you hear about that. I just recently, they told me my heart wasn't working right. My wife seemed to already know that. I don't know what that problem was there, but I didn't know she was a doctor. But then I got to go tomorrow to get another EKG, and I'm hoping they tell me I'm back to normal. If I'm not, then they said they're going to electrocute me. So, but things happen, don't they, in our lives? But you know what? I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have a friend that understands. He's a understanding friend. And so, Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, he is our high priest who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands. He understands what you're going through. Also, Jesus sympathizes in our deepest sorrows. He sympathizes with us. Notice, if you would, at verse 33. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept and said to the Jews, behold how he loved him. His sympathy here was not really about Jesus. I believe he wasn't weeping about the death of Lazarus. He's weeping about everybody else. He knew what he was going to do with Lazarus. Remember what he said in verse 4? This sickness is not unto death. Jesus didn't come and to where he was buried and say, oh no, what are we going to do? Wring his hands. It was sad. He was sad for the living, not for the dead. And so, Christ understands and sympathizes because he is a loving friend. And what hurts you hurts him. When he's seen them weeping, when he's seen them crying, that's what was a sad thing to him. And he was sympathizing with these sisters, Mary and Martha. He was sympathizing with these friends that were there. He knew what he was going to do with Lazarus. Lazarus, he's going to come back from the dead. That wasn't a problem. But he sympathizes. Think about that. Can you imagine if Jesus was sitting with you during a troubled time in your life and you were crying and you looked up and there was tears coming down his cheeks? Think about that. You have a Savior that sympathizes with you. Jesus wept. Jesus indeed is both a loving and understanding friend, but there would be something greatly lacking if these were the only characteristics Jesus possessed as a friend. What we need is a friend who is not only loving, not only understanding, as we see in verses 37 through 44, you know what else he is? Jesus is also a mighty friend. In other words, Jesus is a loving friend, he's an understanding friend, but he is an empowering friend. Jesus is a mighty friend. Look at verse 37. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a grave, a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha said, oh my, he's been there too long, 4 days. He stinketh, the flesh is rotting. You don't want to do that. But Jesus said to her, he said, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? You know, who can do miraculous things? Well, God can. He can do miraculous things. Verse 37 again. What did he say? Some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind and have caused that even this man should not have died? They realized that Jesus was a mighty friend. And Jesus said there in verse 36, behold, they said here, behold how he loved him. But they missed the point here. Again, he was not weeping for Lazarus. He knew what he was going to do for him. He was weeping for those whose hearts were breaking because they had lost their brother. Maybe because they lost a close friend or he is a relative to some other. That's where the weeping was. Not for Lazarus. Lazarus was coming back. How do we know it? Because Jesus knew that he was coming back. He had even told it that that's what was going to happen in verse 4. So why the weeping? It was because of the living. What a friend we have in Jesus. We've had folks here that's buried loved ones and cried. And you know what? The Lord understands. But the wonderful thing about the ones who passed away as Christians, guess what? They're in heaven. They're walking with the Lord. They're seeing those who have passed before them that were saved. Jesus is a mighty friend that can do miraculous things. Not only that, he's one who performs his miracles when we meet his conditions. In other words, the Lord has some things that he wants to see in our life. In verse 38, it says, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away that stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. First thing that you and I need to do is we need to obey his commands. Obey his commands. He said, do what? Take away the stone. And so that's what needed to be done. Martha said, don't do that. He stinketh. But we have a mighty friend. He can take care of that. He can take care of whatever the need is, whatever the problem. Just do what he says to do. We need to obey his command. Sometimes God speaks to our heart about doing something. We're going, oh my goodness, I don't think I better do that. What's going on? Listen, you got a mighty God. You go ahead if God says you give something away because there's a need in somebody's life. You go ahead and give to that project, whatever. You go ahead and step out and say, I'll help, I'll do this, if God spoke to your heart to do it. Yeah, but I just don't know if I have the time. I don't know if I have the money. I don't know if I have the mental ability or whatever. Listen, you got a mighty God. If God says do it, do it. Roll that stone away. And they set about to do just exactly that. Not only that, they told him to put off the grave clothes. Look down at verse 44. It says here, verse 43, says he thus spoke and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound. Now, folks, he was dead, but now he's alive. He came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now, people that are living, should they be having grave clothes on? They prepared the body and they covered the body a certain way. And it says here, and his face was bound with a napkin. Notice, Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Put off the grave clothes. What the grave clothes for us today as Christians is that old life. Put it off. Obey his commands. Put off the old man, the old ways. Put on the grave clothes was on. I like to say that put on the grace clothes. We're saved by the grace of God. Amen. And people need to see that. I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have a friend that was willing to go and die on a cross for me. That's my friend. And he is a loving friend. He is an understanding friend. Yes, he is a mighty friend. That old song, the old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe was spotless, had never been worn. Oh, the best thing in my life that I ever did do was take off that old robe and put on the new. That'll be a difference in our life when we're saved. Why? Because we got a friend in Jesus. What a friend you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you like to be around your friends? The one, you know, they care about you. You know, they're not going to hurt you. They don't mean to. You know, if you got a need, hey, I'm here. I'll meet that need. I'll do what I can for you. I'll try to be a help to you any way I can. It's nice to be around a good friend. Well, that's your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus truly is the best friend we can have. But an important question would simply be this. Are we a friend to Jesus? Are we that friend that we ought to be? Well, what should we be as a friend of the Lord? Well, number one, God sanctified us. That means he set us apart. Now let's take that's his part. Now the second part of sanctification is a change in our lives. Things ought to be different. Why do I want to walk with the people out there that's not my friend? What a friend I have in Jesus. Why not be sanctified? That means living in the will of God and according to his desire. He's my friend. And then there's service. What's that, preacher? That's living for the purpose that God has for my life. Why should I do that? Because he is your friend. He's a loving friend, an understanding friend. He's a mighty friend. If you look over to the very next chapter, in chapter 12 of John chapter 12, we read in verse 1 and 2, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. You going to serve the Lord? Martha was excited. She had her brother back with her. You know why she had her brother with her? Well, he was dead, but now he's alive because they had a great friend. They had a friend that loved them. They had a friend that understood them. They had a mighty friend that could do something about the problem, raising him from the dead. You drop down there to verse 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, by the reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Here is a family that set aside, sanctified, living for the Lord, serving their Savior and their friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's, Michael, if you'll come tonight, and let's find a songbook, and let's turn to number 317 in our songbook tonight, 317. And that's the song that we have here. What a friend we have in Jesus, 317. all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's all stand together. We'll sing a few verses of this, have a word of prayer and go. And I hope this next week, whatever the needs, whatever the problems, whatever the situations, remember, you have a friend in the Lord. He's a loving friend, an understanding friend. And listen, I don't know what your problem is, but He is a mighty friend. And you be a friend to Him. Let's sing number 317.